4, cue the talent, 3, hey, I said cue the talent, 2, and 1.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad, it's time to get hype.
Come on,
about the hobby we are all a part of, live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hype. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everybody? It's time for The Hype, episode number 92, paying homage to the great Reggie White. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We just got back from the 2019 NFL Rookie Premiere, so we'll talk a little bit about that. There's rumors of a Topps Chrome basketball product. We'll discuss that. We're going to talk about some Spectre NBA. It just came out last week. And a lot of other great things to talk about. Trimmed cards will be on the topic list for the third week in a row, and it's trending, so we'll talk about that. And thank you guys for joining us. As a reminder, we have our free National Treasures box break, and that's going down next Wednesday. So make sure there's about a week to sign up. So everybody that gets entered in, we're going to random off the 30 teams, and then we're going to open the box, and there's a chance that somebody's going to get a Luka for free. So that's a $1,400 box. Free break just for you guys that haven't tried us, and for some of our loyals, just get in and experience a break. So check that out at mojobreak.com. The free break link is at the top of the website. C-Rad, what's going down? Oh, he stole Dan's tagline. Dan, what's going down?
What?
If you guys both do that, it's just like I'm talking to myself here. Just a one word answer show where I just say one, you know, I ask you guys questions and you say one word at a time.
Oh, I'd like that. I'd be totally into that.
So once again, thank you guys for joining us. We have a video version of the show and a podcast version of the show. You can download the podcast version on iTunes if you don't have an Apple product. You can also listen on Overcast, and I heard we're on Pocket Cast as well. So we do this thing weekly, so thanks for joining us. And we're coming up to episode 100, guys. We're going to do a big blast show on that. So wanted to get right into the NFL Rookie Premiere. Dan, set the stage. How was it this year, 2019?
It was good. I've done it a couple years. I did it last year with C-Rad. And last year on the field, it was probably like 110 degrees. It was hot. It was cooking. It was like sun was in our face. You couldn't see the monitor. I mean, it was gnarly, right? C-Rad was like, he was in the trenches last year. So it was a little gnarly. This year, it was like 80 degrees. We were super, super spoiled.
But I still got sunburned, man. So, you know, this white boy face doesn't do well with the sun. I'm peeling now. I'm going to New Orleans, and I'm peeling.
But, I mean, it was good. It was a well-done event, like it always is. Streamlined. We were able to, you know, open up some amazing products. The package was amazing that we were able to do. And it was fun. It was fun. We changed it up a little bit this year with the break. We did one long break instead of doing multiple breaks throughout the day.
Yep.
And for us, it was definitely a little bit easier, a little bit more laid back. We didn't have any internet issues. We didn't have any video issues. So overall, great success.
Yeah, for those of you guys that don't know, the NFL Rookie Premiere happens every year. And this is this year they had 40 guys. And these 40 guys are going to appear more predominantly than the other rookies in all the 2019 sets going forward. And this event, what they're doing is they're taking the pictures, action photos, all kinds of wacky photos for all of their cards throughout the entire year. So this is a very, very, very pivotal event for Panini and every year's football products. So 40 guys. There was 8 teams, and you know, I had a little thing handy. Let me see if I can pull it up. There was 8 teams that weren't represented there. So for you guys getting into breaks, something to consider. So if you're dealing with a product that has on-card autos or like elements that's coming out, they're gonna promise one auto on-card auto per box. If you're buying the Buccaneers, I'm gonna pull up my sheet here. They're not gonna have an on-card guy in the set for that particular rookie set. So it's something to consider when you guys get into breaks. And the teams that weren't represented at the Panini rookie premiere was the Falcons, the Browns, the Packers, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, I was right, Saints, Jets, and Buccaneers. So there's eight teams that don't have rookie premiere guys. Now there's two teams that have three guys. The Cardinals have three guys. The Redskins have three guys. Oh, I'm sorry, and the Patriots have three. So those are teams that if you find the right price and breaks, you have a better percentage of getting hits. So something to consider. That list is probably posted somewhere, and you guys can do your own math. Like Ravens have two guys. Broncos have two guys. Raiders have two guys. So something to think about going forward. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to have like Quinn and Williams, but he's going to be like a sticker auto. And if you're dealing with like Origins that's coming out, that's going to be all on card. So make sure you don't grab those teams in breaks. And if you do, you know, they'll probably be pretty cheap, at least on our site, because we've done our homework. But just as a little heads up, if you're buying break spots. But we sat down with some players, and those videos are on YouTube. We had seven players break with us: Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Bryce Love, Justice Hill, Hunter Renfrow, and Daryl Henderson, Riley Ridley, and I think that was – I got them all there. I think the best one was Bryce Love. And tell us about your experience with Bryce Love, the great Stanford alum, the soon-to-be Redskins running back.
Bryce Love is amazing. Probably one of the best athletes I've ever been able to sit down and talk to. He was engaging. He wanted to open up packs. He wanted to talk about, you know, Stanford alumni and all that stuff. And he was really, really into it. It's difficult to get these players, especially he was on the second to last rotation. So he had been there essentially all day. And this was like his last spot. So usually when you get those last rotation guys, they're like, I just want to be done. And they were like blasting. They were running behind. So they were kind of blasting people through the stations a lot faster than they were before. Because Riley Ridley sat down and he was like sitting there for like 10 minutes. I think we got about 5 minutes at Bryce Love. I actually had a little conversation about 20 minutes before he sat down with us because I had already talked to Panini, and I was like, hey, if we're going to get anybody, can we get Bryce Love? So I basically went over there and talked to him a little bit and said, hey, this is what we're doing over here, just to give you a heads up. You're going to sit down with us, and we're going to open up some packs of cards, and we're just going to, you know, talk about football, talk about Stanford's, talk about stuff like that. So he was really, really good, and we're BFFs now.
Yep. Yeah, I think they're going out to dinner or something. I mean, it's they're an item. They're a couple.
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, I was going to root for him anyway. But I'm really going to root for him now.
Yeah, he was fabulous. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to open.
He wanted to stay. He was like, oh, he's like, I like this National Treasure stuff. He's like, let's do it. And he was pulling Stanford players like crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bean's Ball Card Blog, which is a great blog, by the way, guys, asked a question in the chat, in the live YouTube chat. Why no representation? Why no representation? And that was in response to the teams that I mentioned. Linemen or defensive players? Yes and no. So the NFLPA collaborates with Panini. They pick the list together. And they only had one defensive guy, which was Bosa. So they tend to not have defensive guys because they don't sell as well for collectors. And some of the late round running backs and stuff like that, they just don't sign, but they will have them probably as sticker autos, as you guys seen with Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay wasn't drafted. He got a lot of momentum, and they started putting stuff in products as a sticker auto and then some on card later. So if you're looking at it from that perspective, if you're looking at like a Quinn and Williams or like a Greedy, what's Greedy? Is it Greedy Williams?
Greedy Williams?
The guy from the Browns?
Browns.
Williams? They'll have fewer cards than some of these other guys. So that could be a way they could be more collectible for that matter because they're not going to be rookie premier guys who are going to be in every set. You can bank on Hunter Renfrow being in every set. You can bank on Bryce Love being in every set. All those 40 guys that were in at the rookie premiere will be in every Panini set going forward for the 2019 season. And they get them to sign so many stickers that they're going to have them probably for years to come for the first couple years after.
Yeah, so the one thing I got to say about Bryce Love getting back, he actually did a little bit of research on what he was signing beforehand because he knew there was a difference between on-card autos and that product probably being higher end and more money than stickers.
Yeah.
And he was, before we went live, he was talking a little bit about that on the side. We were going over that, and he's a smart dude. And
what did he say to you?
If football doesn't work out, I mean, he's basically going to be a pediatrician, Dr. Love.
Well, it's funny. These guys, and I'll have Dan mention the response that Bryce Love had an idea. So these guys know how much they signed for. We wish we knew how much they signed for, but that's pretty hush-hush. So they know that they're getting, let's just say, $20 an auto, $5 an auto, $10 an auto. They know the set amount when they're signing. So then some of these guys, you know, technology's where it's at these days. They go on eBay and they Google some of their early cards. And they're like, wait a second. Like Kyler Murray, for example. You know, Panini's probably paying him between 20 and 50 per auto, probably would be my guesstimate. And he goes and sees that his card's selling for $200, $300, $400. And these guys don't understand how the business works like we do that are involved in the hobby. And they're like, well, why can't I? What did Bryce Love say?
I wasn't.
You don't want to bust them out.
I actually wasn't going to bring it up. But he had a conversation with me about what stops me from, you know, making my own card and signing my own card and selling it directly to fans. He's like, isn't that essentially what they're doing here? And I'm like, well, there's licensing issues. You can't, like, you can't really take a picture of yourself with the jersey on and then use that and make money on it. And he's all, but it's my jersey. I'm all, I get it, but it's, you don't own the logos.
Right.
And then he's like, well, but what about my college jersey? And I'm like, you don't own the logos for that either.
Right.
I'm all, but what you, I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you can go the Luka route.
Right.
And Luka kind of did the same thing with the selling the t-shirts and sending out a 5x7 signed with, was it photoshopped out or was it like his?
It was his own Dallas Mavericks colored jersey, okay. Kind of in a sense.
So yeah, I mean, I explained that he can do something like that, but he wouldn't be able to use the trademark logos. But, you know, I mean, you could see with him, like the wheels were turning. He like.
So collect them early, huh?
Yeah.
He's not going to sign later.
Well, certain guys, yeah, you'll see it. I mean, you'll see like Cam Newton doesn't sign. I mean, a lot of those autos that came out of Cam Newton after his rookie year were stickers that they collected there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of these guys that get super popular can get $100 to $150 an auto, and it just doesn't make sense for Panini to sign them at that point. But their rookie premiere, they have to be there, not only for Panini, but they have to be there for the rookie symposium where they're talking to them. So these guys get kind of schooled to the business of the of NFL. Mike Vick's there every year. Steve Smith's there every year. Marshall Faulk talks to the guys, and they talk about, hey, you're going to have this money, but you know, be smart with your money and stuff like that. So they're already there for that reason, and then they make money, you know, signing cards for Panini.
And the event concludes on Saturday. The last event is the rookie photo shoot. The first event starts on Wednesday, and like you said, it's a bunch of retired vets coming in and talking to them about the business side of, you know, being a football player. But yeah, I mean, you could tell. The thing is about the agents have a pretty good idea of what, because they're the ones signing, they're the ones basically facilitating the contract.
Right.
The players know that they have to be there, but they don't really understand what they're getting into. Honestly, a lot of them would prefer to probably be at their team facilities and doing training camp and stuff like that and trying to get settled in the city that they were drafted by. But this is like the last event they have to do before they really start
getting ready for football. And to kind of go back over what we said about Bryce Love, where he's thinking, hey, I could just sign 8x10s and sell them. Yeah, you could do that. But what we've seen with Luka was selling shirts, like Dan mentioned, and you got a free auto. So it was $40. So you're like, well, I got a Luka auto for $40. Well, you can't even sell that Luka auto for $40 on eBay. So it's not like a Contenders card or a National Treasures card, because the brand sells and makes it more collectible. People don't want – that's the same reason why you can't get Ken Griffey Jr. to sign on a card in person and it sell for a Ken Griffey Jr. Chrome card or whatever. It's the branding behind it and the serial number and all that stuff is the reason why we're all collecting it, and we know and we trust Topps and Panini and all that other stuff. So that's why you guys just can't just print their own autos, you know, and they've tried. There's guys out there that do that.
There's like the design aspect of it too. You got to put some value on the physical design of the card.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, the rookie premiere was great. A lot of comments on our Nick Bosa and our Kyler Murray video. So check that out on YouTube. You can probably just search Kyler Murray Mojo Break or Nick Bosa Mojo Break. I stumbled on my words with Nick Bosa being a Niner fan. I was totally stoked to break with him. And
he was stoked to break with you too.
Oh, you could see it.
I mean, the feeling was mutual. I could tell. I mean, the chemistry in the air was intense.
Yeah. I mean, there was a comment on there saying he was a great conversationalist, you know, didn't have a lot to say. I mean, but some guys, like I was explaining to some people, is, you know, some guys are introverts. I mean, this guy's a football player. not all football players are going to go on. They're going to be Marshall Faulk, or they're going to be on NFL Network. It's just not going to happen. This guy played football all of his life. He didn't have to worry about anything. His dad was a football player. His brother was a football player. All he has
his
to worry about is playing
daddy's
football.
Daddy was a football player.
Yeah. Nah. Daddy was a pimp. daddy was a pimp. No, but you know, so you know, these guys all have to be, you know, super animated. So that's kind of what I got from Bosa. He wasn't rude. I mean, he did give me that. What is this nerddom going on here? Like, this is totally nerdy. Like,
no,
what's going on?
He definitely had that vibe. Like, wow, what did I just get put into? Like, all these guys are just nerds. I wish they would just stop talking about sports cards.
Right. I mean, somebody that's at least 20 years old, or close to 20 years older than you, sitting with you, opening up packs of cards.
He did drop Metallica, and I was like, okay, we're cool now.
And then Kyler, if you watch our video, and this is just from my point of view, we were getting mixed reports about Kyler. Kyler, from what I've heard about the vent, Kyler was either super cool or super angry. Like, it was kind of not in the middle. He wasn't even keel. It was like he was super excited to do something, or he was super angry to do something. And that just could be, you know, the long weeks. I mean, he's the most interviewed guy out there. Everybody wants to talk to him. So he sat down. I told him we're basically doing a break, and these cards were bought by customers, and, you know, people have teams in the break. And you could kind of see him, like, scratching his head, looking around. There was a moment where I thought he was just going to bounce on me. And I was prepared mentally to be like, okay, this guy's just going to – he's just going to leave. But one of you guys – and I got to look back in the chat. Somebody said, go Cardinals, in the chat, and I told him that, and he smiled. And I think that's what saved him. I think that's what saved the interview from him going, like, I got to go or something, or – Nerd, just leaving, you know.
I do. That is the quote, though. Doug did start the Nick Bosa
yes.
conversation with, and I think that is actually quoted, I'm Niner ticket super seasoned fan collector. And
yeah.
You said that. I just looked at them all. There was some words in there.
And maybe I started the whole thing wrong. I was super excited. It was right after lunch. I knew we were gonna have Bosa, but I didn't know it was gonna be at that time. So I was what do I say? You know, it's just like a Britney Spears fan meeting Britney for the first time, kind of. And I mean, after that, there wasn't a whole lot of more words exchanged. It was a lot of me talking.
I gotta say, it got pretty good after that. All things considered. I thought he was going to be like, I have no idea what this guy just said. I need to leave.
Yeah. I mean, he opened up a case of Flawless with us, pulled the Dan Marino 101 patch auto, got a Brett Favre auto on one side, John Randall 101. It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun opening that Flawless for him. When I told him how much the box cost, it kind of blew his mind. You could see his eyebrows raise. So that to me, that was like, I think his mind was blown for a minute there. As much as his mind could be blown opening up sports cards was that moment there. But all in all, it was cool. We were, you know, thankful to Panini and Gold River for sending us out there, and got really lucky. We're the only guys to break with the first and second overall pick. So you can check out those videos on YouTube and watch those. All seven of them are individually linked. And there's also a playlist that says 2019 Rookie Premier as well.
So you sat down with what, four guys, five guys?
Four, I think.
So if you were to rank them, who are your favorite? I mean, obviously you're probably going to go Bosa because you're a homer.
I mean, I think the best conversation I had was with Renfro, to be honest. I mean, if you're looking at it from a conversational
punter,
the punter, Jeff had me laughing on that one. Renfro, it was a good, he was easy to talk to. And then, yeah, I guess I'd have to go Bosa because of the Niner thing. How about you? You and Bryce Love hands down, right?
Bryce Love. Well,
Bradley Ridley was
nice.
I
was super fortunate. I sat down with two guys and, both were some of the best guys I've ever sat down with. Bryce Love and Riley Ridley. Back, I mean, that was both. Riley Ridley was having a good time opening up cards too, and he's fun. He's gonna be a fun player to watch.
Definitely. And Chris says, or Max says, best interview since Dan and the Instagram chick from National.
Nice. what about let's see, you had Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, he was another conversationalist,
and he was. Granted, I mean, he was the first.
He was
guy.
Like 8:30.
It was like 8:30, first rotation. This is the first thing he did was, like, sit down and open up cards. He was probably like, thought we were taking pictures. Like, why am I doing this? And I think it was just early. I don't think the coffee had kicked in for Doug yet.
Yeah.
And, yeah. What's that?
Well, here's some cards, guys. So if you guys that are in live watching on YouTube, you know, you've seen these cards. If you're listening to the podcast,
we'll just try to describe it as best we can. I had some of the previews from Panini. This is straight from Instagram, so you guys can go on Instagram as well. There was a quad auto. It was in the earlier slide of Kyler, Drew Lock. It was an all quarterback. That's coming out in Origins, so we know that's not going to be a redemption. That's cool. 7 of 10, all the top four quarterbacks.
Can we talk about how Kyler has a nice auto, dude?
Kyler does have a nice auto, good ink. And then Ryan Finley from the Bengals signed one of his NT collegiate cards, and he inscribed it, "This only card of its kind." So that wasn't even good English right there, right? "This only card of its kind." I think he forgot an "is" in there, right? It should be a "this is,"
kinda,
or "this is the only card of its kind." Kind of
like being the 49er ticket super season fan collector.
That's what I put on my card. Super fractor season collector. Yeah, I was going to edit that out because it was kind of embarrassing, but you guys can check out my my stumble of my words.
I'm not loving Ryan Finley's auto there. Not loving it.
I mean, I don't like printing plates. For you guys out there, I can't stand printing plates. Just don't like it.
No, I like the new technology on Panini's printing
plate. That printing plate's cool with the back, but it's still the same thing on the front.
What do you want it to be on the front? That's how they make the cards.
Black gold. Black gold. They really turned a page when they did the black gold printing plates. See, so you, right? You remember that,
you want,
right?
So you want it framed?
Framed. It was a black gold base, and then inside was a printing plate. Was cool.
So you want them to frame the printing plate?
Yes, that's what I want.
Yeah, because that's super expensive. It's expensive to do that.
So, that's what I want.
How about if we considered printing plates, autoed or relic patch printing plates, as like extra hits?
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay. I mean, it is regular printing plates and like tops.
No, but I'm talking about if you get an autoed printing plate, it's considered an extra.
Right, right. It is. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I understand it's a pivotal point of making the card, but when you could barely make out what's on the card, let's just do away with printing plates. Maybe we can just put printing plates in. I don't know. I don't know what we can do with
you
them.
You want to make a printing plate product?
Well, I think that's been done before too. But
NT?
NT. NT. There's a Kyler signing his card. So they signed a lot of cards
plates
out
and
there.
Patches.
And before we move on to a quick trimming point of view, they signed a lot of these cards there. What Panini has done over the years, which I think they instituted last year. So in order for them to acquire the most amount of autographs as possible, they have different tiers for these players. So if they sign, and I don't know what the number was, but I'm assuming north of 5,000 autographs, maybe closer to 8,000 autographs, they get a signed Kobe jersey in addition to their money if they sign X amount of autos. Also, there was a backpack Yeti cooler, which I think I need. I didn't even know they made one of those. Were giving that away, too,
that
for
was
a certain amount of autographs signed.
I think that was a tier two. Then there was a tier one was the Kobe. Last year they did... what
RC
was it?
Cars.
It was an R. It was like a RC car and
Kobe shoes.
Yeah, Kobe shoes. Yep, yep. So then they have the Kobe jerseys. So
I think it's a great idea.
But for anybody, one more last comment that just, if you're out there and you're witnessing what's going down, it is an insane amount of work for Panini to do. I mean, they have to coordinate all these stickers, all these cards for 40 athletes. They have to coordinate, you know, with the NFLPA to get photos. So they've got guys on the payroll taking photos. They have massive amounts of employees out there.
And that event is put on by Panini.
Yes.
Panini is putting on that event. It is the NFLPA is involved, but it's Panini that is actually coordinating and putting on the event. It's Panini's event.
And I walked into a back room, and there was a guy that was already editing photos for pictures. So there must have been at least like 100 employees or more out there doing something, probably more than that. And dealing with some of these guys that are showing up late, like N'Keal Harry supposedly was ghost during the whole event. He said he was sick.
I don't know if that was the guy though. I think there was another guy who was like stomach flu or something like
So I mean, you're at the mercy of these guys. If they get a text from somebody in Beverly Hills that wants to go to a club, I mean, they have other things to do. So you have to kind of deal with some, so to speak, prima donnas. You know, I don't want to name anybody as a prima donna, but there's a lot of prima donnas out there. They're not getting paid that much to be there. They don't want to be there. They want to get back on the football field. So they're trying to get all this stuff done. I mean, it is almost pivotal for the rest of their year for one category to be at this event. So it's a lot of stress, a lot of coordination, a lot of teamwork. I can't even begin to fathom how they start, you know, doing workflow and what people know what to do. I mean, it's just crazy.
And you had a good point, and I'll let you elaborate more on it, but everybody is like, well, Panini makes too much product. Panini does that. Panini does this. Panini has 40 players that they invite, probably in connection with the NFLPA. But there could be more invited. If there was more content that was acquired there, say there was 60 players, well, it would be really difficult to get the Kyler Murrays and the Nick Bosa and the Daniel Jones
out
autos
of packs, yeah.
out of packs if you had 20 extra players that are going to be all up in every product. So that was a good point. If Panini was really going to try to cash in, why wouldn't you have 60 players there? Why wouldn't you have 80
thinking.
Players there? Why wouldn't you have 100 players there?
And what made me thinking about this is great podcast by Brian Gray. Leaf has a podcast. It's you can find it under Leaf underscore cards on Twitter. You can find the link, and it's on Podbean, I believe. And he did his first episode, I believe it was last week, and he talks about redemptions. I advise you, anybody that listens to this show, absolutely go listen to the Brian Gray Leaf podcast. It's a great show. He pulls back the curtain on redemptions as a manufacturer. But he was saying that, you know, we're getting into, you know, a lot of guys are saying we're getting into overproduction. And he said we simply can't get, and he said what drives products is autographs. And we can't get any more autographs from players. Players are tapped out. They don't want to sign any more than we already have them signing between all the manufacturers. So that was when my wheels were turning, and I'm like, they had 40 guys last year. If they need to make more, because we're heading into a season after Baker Mayfield where this season is going to be probably following the hype of the Baker Mayfield season, why not have 60 rookie premier guys? And they didn't. They had 40. So I'm like, okay. Because, I mean, they could have had, like, Quinn and Williams. You could have got some other guys out there, right, to bump up your numbers. Now, I don't know if that's an NFLPA thing. I believe it is. Maybe NFLPA only wants to deal with 40 players, or it's a Panini thing. So, you know, they could have had a lot more rookie premier guys than they did.
I'm not gonna say how much it is, but I know how much Panini pays to put that event on, and there's definitely. I mean, they have a lot to benefit by having that event. It's content for their whole category throughout the whole year, so they need that event. But there's definitely a lot of aspects of it that they get the shaft,
right?
But the amount of work and the amount of money that goes into that event is ridiculous.
Absolutely. So I wanted to touch on the trimming. You know, Keith Olbermann tweeted out something about the trimming has just been trending because there's just been more and more discovered cards that are trimmed. Now, if you haven't been listening to the show or you haven't been following on Twitter, what trimming is that somebody has a card that's like maybe a 7, like a PSA 7, and it's got a bad corner. So they'll crack it out. And they'll use something that apparently you can buy on Amazon, or you can buy fairly cheaply, not scissors, but something that cuts corners at a very minute rate where it doesn't take that much off the card. Now it makes the card more centered, or it fixes that corner. People resubmit, and it's a 10 or a 9 or higher than it was. So now the card went from a $100 card to a $1,000 card. So it's a big scam going on, and what these guys are doing is they're sending them to PWCC, to Probstein, but they're graded, so you can't really tell. So my thing is, are we going to get to the point with this? This is far-fetched, but I was just thinking this in my mind, and we can discuss. You guys can add in the chat. Are we going to get to the point where an ungraded card is better? Because there's so much possible scamming going on and wouldn't that be actually better? Because who benefits from graded cards? The grading companies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there's allegedly a $100,000 Jeter that supposedly could be allegedly trimmed. And that was courtesy of at Sports Card News on Twitter. That there's I hadn't read the form. I hadn't time to read about this one. But there was like 70 Steph Curry cards that were apparently trimmed.
Well,
it was like 30.
That is the card that got a write-up on ESPN, right?
Correct. So allegedly it was trimmed. So that's what I'm saying. What if would this hobby die if we didn't have PSA or BGS?
I already told you my solution.
The robot grading.
Yeah,
I get that.
I'm telling you, it's happening. I actually was talking to some. I was talking to some folk. It's going down. It's going down.
I mean, the norm, like us as collectors, we've all probably jumped in around. I mean, some of us have been around for a long time, but some like us, we came back in 2010. BGS cards, modern cards, that was the holy grail. That's what you wanted to do. That's what we've been programmed to think, right? We've been programmed to think that if I have a Bowman prospect card, I need to send it in and get a 9.5. What if we changed that culture? Would it matter if we had a Ronald Acuna blue auto and it wasn't graded? Why would it matter?
Well, now, I mean, when's the last time you put a non-graded Chrome card up on eBay? Just started at 99 cents. Just an auto that wasn't graded on eBay, 99 cents. Do you know the questions you get on it. Why isn't this graded?
Right.
What kind of condition is it in? Is it in bad condition? Is it not?
Well, there
gonna,
you go.
Is it not going to grade a 9.5?
You wouldn't need to answer those anymore if there was no grading companies.
Well, I mean, I mean, I know there's probably people in the chat that can relate. If you put up a raw auto of any Chrome card, or I mean, even like Heritage, anything that somebody may grade, the questions that you get besides how much are you going to take for it if you just end the auction right now, which is the other question you get constantly, is what is this card going to grade?
Right. Yeah. I get it all the time.
And I honestly, I'm that guy. I don't even answer that question because I don't want to put myself in a position where they get it graded and it comes back an 8.5 and they're like, well, got to return it. I thought it was going to be a 9.5. You said it was good. You said it was in good condition.
Right. Now, Max has a point saying that unnumbered cards would lose all value. And I see that. I'm not saying I don't like grading, and I'm not saying I want it to go away, but I'm just saying, can we imagine this hobby without graded cards? How much would it really affect? And unnumbered cards would lose the most, right? But I think we've all been programmed, and by PSA's marketing, by BGS's marketing, and in their years of doing these cards, that is what we should do. But now we're all questioning that. Now we're buying cards on eBay, and we're going, is this card trimmed? I got a 10. Is it trimmed? You know, and maybe that's a small, let's hope that that's a small, minute part of this hobby. But if there's money to be made, it's going to happen. And that's what's happening, is these guys see angles.
There's been shadiness in this industry, the underbelly of it, for 30, 40 years.
Right.
It just, there's different ways that it pops up. And now with trimming and resubmitting and all that stuff and selling it through third party consigners, so there's no accountability held to at the end of the auction. We're going to be dealing with this until we figure out a solution. And maybe the solution is raw cards are where the value's at.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm playing devil's advocate here. Obviously we don't, you know, we can't imagine that right now because
I'm supposed to go opposite, right? I'm supposed to be like, no, I love Beckett.
But I'm just saying it's an extra added cost. You got to wait for your card. I mean, they just pull the card out of the pack and then sell that card. I mean, if you're going to sell it, why does it matter?
If you just had some type of system that was automated and done with an app that can take, you know, the whole condition of the card and do it digitally and then slab it.
That's what Dan was saying. Somebody asked, what's robot grading? We're saying taking the human aspect of possibly messing up the grade.
And having it, maybe
being able to fix a trimming, like catching trimming, you know, that way.
Basically having a digital app-based version of grading your card. You put it in and it takes a full scan of the card and you take the human element out of the grading process.
What if the companies, and this would probably be really hard to do, put something on maybe the back of the card that had a certain amount of inches on all four corners? That if it was trimmed, the back would show.
Well, I mean, and that's basically if it gets to a point where all these cards are getting trimmed, then the manufacturers are going to have to step in and have some type of tamper-proof cardboard hologram that's on the back of the card to prevent that. But then people will figure out how to, you know, manipulate that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you're seeing it run more rampant because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, there was, you know, you'd cut a card and you'd get an extra $5. Well, now it's a difference of thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars. So you could F up on three or four of them and get one and it'd pay for all the four that you F'd up on, or 10 for that matter. I mean, there was like a Brady that I think the guy bought for like $500. It was a 7 or something. It was a Fleer. One of the Fleer is ugly as shit. Sorry for my French.
Whoa.
And he cut it, and it got a 10, and then it went for like $20,000 or something stupid like that. So if he would have bought like, you know, 10 of those and screwed them all up or they didn't come back great and Beckett caught all of them, he'd still be making money.
I think one of the worst things going on right now is the third-party consigners because, it takes all the accountability out of it. Now, we do consignments. But we do it, it's pack pulled.
Right.
Like, and I know who submitted it.
But you can never get rid of consigners. How could you never can.
Well, but really we're only looking at what, 3 to 4 big consigners.
Right.
It's not like there's, you know, 400 eBay consigners out there. There's like 3 to 4 big ones that basically have cornered the market.
Yeah.
And they know who's submitting all these cards, but it's not in their best interest to release any of this information.
And Mike has a good point in the chat. Every time a cut fake card gets through grading, it should erode the market a little. The fake Jordan rookie card, the Jeter, and the Steph proves that grading companies don't know anything that we don't. Or that proves that grading companies don't know anything we don't. So we know, yeah, exactly. It's like me and you grading. Like, we don't know anything. They don't know anything.
No, we joke about it all the time. Like, I honestly don't know if anybody from these grading companies ever looks at your card.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. They have so much volume.
Right. That they have to pump them out quick.
I don't know if anybody ever looks at your card. It might just be like, you know what? Most of these cards are like 9.95s. The next 30 that come in, give them, you know, 9.5s. The next 20 after that, give them 9s.
Right. We don't. Yeah. Throw
one a 10 in there. Like, there's no transparency. There's no breakdown. Beckett and PSA don't tell you this is how we do our procedure. They don't ever give you a peek behind the curtain.
I know. That's what they should do. This is so a perfect opportunity.
This is a perfect opportunity to be like, here is a day in the life of a Beckett grader.
Right.
I mean, put it like a GoPro on his head. Just boom. Follow him around all
I
day.
I love it. I love it. I want to see it. That's must see TV. Get your popcorn. So I wanted to talk about this. I just saw this before we went live.
It sounds pretty boring, right? It sounds terrible.
So Chrome, Topps Chrome. Basketball, it might be coming back. Allegedly, there was a tweet that happened. So if you guys remember Topps Chrome, they haven't made Topps Chrome since 9-10. I think Steph's rookie class was the last year they made Chrome. But some of the best-selling Kevin Durant, some of the best-selling Kobe's, some of the best-selling LeBron James, Topps Chrome. So there's a guy from Kentucky by the name of Tyler Harrow that posted a video of himself signing Topps Chrome basketball cards. What does this mean? It probably means they're going to come out with a pre-draft or a right-after-the-draft product. But that leaves a little bit of a window of, are we going to have Zion Super Refractor Chrome Autos out on the market?
But if it is absolutely unlicensed, is anybody going to care?
Yeah.
We just got done talking about the Lucas signed cards that didn't have a logo on it. Nobody cared.
But it's Topps Chrome. It's got a lineage.
But it doesn't have logos on it. It's ironic that if people jump on that and go, I love it, I love it, I love it, and those are the same people who are like, I will not collect Panini baseball because it doesn't have logos. My mind's going to be blown. Because the one knock on Panini baseball is that people refuse to collect it because it doesn't have logos.
But Topps,
are those same people going to collect basketball cards that don't have logos?
But Topps has a following. Topps has the loyal Topps lovers.
Okay.
It could be different. I'm not saying it is.
It shouldn't be.
It could be different. Especially if this comes out well before, like, Prism, and it's just, you know, just we're dipping our toes in the water of this rookie class, and we got Topps Chrome. I don't know what and who knows. This could be Topps Chrome baseball, and you know, it could just be a non-sport guy
in
there. Or Ginter or something. Who knows?
Or it can be in National Packs.
Could be in National Packs. I don't think that Topps is getting the NBA license. I mean, that would be a game changer,
well,
obviously.
Why would they start with that? Why would you see an unlicensed card if they were going to try to get the license?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell if they're using an image of him where you can't see his jersey.
That is absolutely Photoshopped.
Right, right.
It's
But so
dude, tell me that card looks good.
I haven't seen it in person.
That card looks like shit. Know what I'm saying?
But if they could cash in on, like everybody's saying in the chat, the Zion hype, I mean, it's going
to
be a product.
I'm sorry to all my Topps peeps out there. I'm going to get crap for that. But yeah, I don't think that looks like a great design.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say.
I think it's an insert.
It looks like it's an insert, huh? It does. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, more info will come out about where this card's going. This is Tyler Harrow from Kentucky. And he posted it on his Instagram, and people have been running with this. It's been trending on Twitter a little bit, so I figured let's talk about it and talk about the possibilities of having some early Zion stuff. And, you know, there is a lot of faithful Topps Chrome collectors out there, so this would be huge. And it'd be Super Fractor Zion Williams would be huge, even if it's unlicensed. I don't care. Even, yeah. You know?
No.
It's going to be big.
But it won't, though. Because
it's like the 2012 Fleer retro set. That was
Didn't have any license on that. The Jordans were selling like crazy.
It depends on when that product, if there is a product, depends on when it's going to get released. If it gets released I don't know, dude, you really think basketball collectors are going to collect non-licensed product when there's licensed product
for Zion and Ja and Reddish? Although yes, 100%. I think the Topps Chrome Legacy, dude. There was a Ben Simmons.
RPAs. I see three huge stacks of the same. I don't see any color in there. So there's no indication that this is going to be released in any Topps Chrome basketball set. You would see different variations.
Well, time will tell. You're right. Well, that could be just his stack of base. That's how much base he signed. It could be green.
And one dude. We've seen one card. One.
So you're
guy.
Telling me if they came out with a basketball set and they didn't have any color in there, that'd be absolutely stupid. They might as well just throw it in the garbage.
No,
because
I think this is going to be an extra. It could be inserted into another product. But, I mean, why would you want to put that card in your Topps Chrome set? Who cares?
That's why they have to be making a basketball set.
No, they've done it in the past where they pick, like, who did they pick last year? They picked somebody and they put him in Allen and Ginter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had they've always had a couple basketball players.
Yeah, and it's always been a couple guys that you're like, why?
But they've never inserted a Topps Chrome non-baseball card in any Chrome product they've made. They've never done that. So I can't see them being, okay, this is the first time we're going to throw in Tyler Harrow. This is the dude. We're going to throw him in there. But yeah, and Bert has a good point in the chat. If Zion signs with UD, then we're all screwed on this product. But we'll see.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, what if Zion signs with UD, and what if Ja signs with exclusive with Panini?
Yeah,
and, I mean, you got to figure a lot of the players, and that's why we're looking at who is this? Is Tyler
Harrow?
Tyler Harrow, Hero.
Yeah.
Maybe he hasn't signed an exclusive with Panini yet, but the rest of the guys have.
Maybe. We'll see. But it gives a little hope. I love Topps Chrome. I love Topps Chrome basketball.
Why don't you marry it?
I'm thinking about it. I got a nice couple. I got a Kobe. I got a couple LeBrons. And, you know, I think Topps.
I think we have a couple LeBrons.
Well, I'd like to say
I don't know what all this eye talk is.
But I was the one that proclaimed my love for it. I don't know if you look at them every day like I do, you know.
I love how much they're worth.
Which isn't much, by the way.
No, dude, the LeBrons are worth a decent amount.
Decent amount. All right, last topic. We're on the topic of basketball. Wanted to talk a little Spectra, which came out. C-Rad, what did you think? C-Rad ripped, like, what, 10 cases over Friday to Saturday? Got his fill on Spectra. We only got to rip one on Monday, which I absolutely loved. What did you think about this product?
Better configuration with the four autos and one relic. So out the gate, it's already more interesting than previous years, because previous years would have the three relics, and it's like, who cares about the
relics,
same color relics anyways. So out the gate, it's better configuration. And then I noticed that the prism colors are much more, like, brighter this year.
Yeah.
To the point where it's almost like Spectra football, but it's only missing the neon autographs. And I was thinking, man, they should just go full on like football and do the neon like football, because it really makes Spectra stand out from all the other prism products. Because the cards themselves, like especially the neon greens, the neon pinks, they're like super bright and vivid.
Yeah.
But then the autos are like kind of like, it's just blue ink auto, so they kind of disappear behind the prism.
Yeah, there was one subset that you pulled in. It was an Isaiah Thomas, mm-hmm. and it was like a pink, and you could barely see it. But I think this is by far, and I think you guys will all agree, by far the best rookie patch on card design they've ever had for Spectra.
Oh yeah, even the base versions are beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always liked this product, but the consensus with the hobby and collectors, it's never caught on for basketball.
Yeah.
What do you guys think they need to do to make, I mean, how many times can you release this product and collectors not take to it?
Well, mm-hmm. I think.
So what do you got to do from Panini to make this a product where collectors look forward to it and it goes up, maybe dries up?
Well, it's a catch 22, and I agree with Duke 2008 in the chat. Is it, the timing is terrible on this comes out after NT. We still have Flawless and Immaculate coming out as
okay
well.
so you release it earlier,
right? But the problem with that is it's going to be redemptions and sticker autos.
Okay,
so that's the issue. If they release it earlier, there's a lot of these guys are going to be redemptions, or they're going to be, you're going to see this card with a sticker on it, which would probably
now
look like crap.
The consensus I've heard when I've talked to people about this in the hobby is if they lowered the price a little bit, but the box price.
Maybe do like a 5-star approach and maybe make like just one-on-one
relic
or
something. Yeah, maybe cut the content a little bit and make it, you know, $50, $60 cheaper a box.
Yeah, I could see that. I could like I could definitely see
but,
that.
But I mean that is going against, you know, trying to make more product and make profit. I mean they're going to make less money doing that doing that way.
Yeah.
But I think you could only have a shelf life of a product that's about 5 years in one category and it never takes off before you have to think about where is this product in the whole category.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, a good gauge of what the collectors think of a product is how fast does it move off the first off the line. This product was available longer than any other basketball product I've seen.
Yeah.
On the first off the line side.
And that first off the first off the line parallel sucks. I got to be honest. The wave, I'm like, dude.
It's just a base card, right?
Dude, it's like we've seen this wave prism and tons of other products. What makes this first off the line worthy? You know
they
should
have made an RPA well for that, but
I think they're Panini's probably thinking that they just want to stick with it because of how like because they're you know how like they cross over a lot of different sets across sports.
Yeah.
And you know the Spectra football is always one of the best sets every single year because of how different it is in the entire line.
Yeah.
And I think they need to they need to do something like that with the basketball version. And I know it's tough because it's basically a premium prism product, I guess, and that's why it's so expensive. Like,
but you would think with the success of prism and even optic, you know, that collectors would want shiny patch up cards, but it just doesn't seem like it. Maybe it's the timing. I don't know what
so
it is.
So you think if they had the crazy colors with the neon,
it would.
You think that would maybe separate it a little bit more?
It would separate it a little.
And
bit,
those people who like the super flashy neon with the neon ink, they'd be like, I want to collect that card. And I'm willing to pay a premium for it.
If you're gonna put these crazy colors, crazy prisms on these cards and make them real bright and shiny. But then the autos don't even stand out at all. You know, it's kind of strange to me.
Because yeah. I think the design itself is good. It's on card. I mean, Luka's numbered to 299. He's not short printed. He's in there. He's readily available just as much as every other player in there. You got nice patch window. It basically has everything you want in a product. I personally think if they cut the content and lowered the price about $50-$60.
I mean, what about when it was 6 boxes instead of 8? Wasn't that better? Do you think?
But I think that's better for breakers maybe, but I don't think that's better for the end consumer.
Mm. What if they? This is obviously wild, but what if they made like a prism parallel that went in there too, like a exclusive,
like a white sparkle?
No, like. I know all these cards are like 130 point, which would make no sense. But like, say they just like add. I mean, they make so much. I know that people could be like, "No, you're watering down prism." But what if they put like, you know, crazy super one of five chases, like number to five of.
What if they did? Ooh, I got an idea. What if they do? They randomly insert into this product chromed over Optichrome technology, first day autos.
Mm, okay.
You know,
or XRCs of the next draft.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that, but I like the whole idea of the chromed over because I think the next day autos can use a little boost anyway.
Yeah. Well, one thing that they tried that, in my opinion, is probably one of the ugliest designs of the year. You can see it on the screen is the headliners.
I think it's one of the awesomest cards.
Oh,
this year.
Dude, it is that. That's tough to look at.
It is.
It's tough to look at. I
don't know what it is. I can't look. I want to punch something when I see this.
I don't really like agreeing with Doug, but I gotta agree with Doug on this one. That is.
I just want to punch it. Like it's just. It's like. It's like.
everyone.
So good.
Everyone about? I see. I think it pisses me off even more.
It's so like the guys holding the heads in the crowd. Like you're watching a basketball game and somebody has a huge Klay Thompson head in the crowd. Like that's what I picture.
I mean,
it.
I get it. I get trying something different, but what's next? Are you going to put like a tiny little body on them?
No, it's going to be an arm in the next one.
These cards make me laugh, dude. It's hilarious.
Here we go. Next year, there's a headliner, there's a body liner, and a torso liner. So you got to put all three together, and you have a Shaq. You got a Shaq. So now you have like five different pieces. You got to catch the left arm, the right arm, the head, the torso.
I like that they're kind of reaching here. I like that.
No, I mean, they got to try something and see what sticks. Now, if you go on eBay, I don't know if any of these have sold yet, but there's some astronomical prices. I think that Trae Young that I had, somebody was asking $800 for that Trae Young face. For the face of Trae Young.
Think about all the inserts they've done. Case hit inserts in Spectre the past few years. They've all been pretty boring, dude.
Yeah.
They've all been pretty boring.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying stuff new. I mean, if you're watching Game of Thrones, you're thinking of, you know, maybe Shaq's head on a stick here. You know, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah. Everyone you show me, I get even more and more pissed off. That one's dumb. Dude, that's ridiculous. And a lot of them, they have these pictures with the dumbest expression on their faces. Like, did they do that on purpose? You think Trae Young likes that picture?
Hell yeah.
I think Trae Young's like, oh, glad that came out.
Yep.
Hell
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. How about Panini make a mosaic only available online? It's been that way since they've made it. Well, the first year was the makeup for replay.
Break it down.
The first year was the makeup for replay. And then the following year, which was last year, was available only online as well. So that's what they're doing. But. Yeah, I mean, didn't really take last year. We'll see how it takes this year.
Do they have parallels of the
headliners
of the big heads?
I don't know. That's a good question. Do they have nebulas of those?
I haven't pulled one yet.
Okay.
In 10 cases.
You haven't pulled a headliner yet?
A headliner parallel.
Oh, okay. There's like a headliner in every case.
I like
though.
That there's a sparkle. That it's like guaranteed this year.
No,
for sure.
And I like that Panini, they saw that they needed to add value to this product. And they tried to add value with the big head cards and in the sparkles. The big head cards are just
amazing.
Bruh.
Amazing.
Bruh.
Hold on.
Bruh.
All right. Well, we got some legacy to break today, guys. We've got a lot of breaks today. Brand new legacies, which is first patch auto of 2019 football class. So and they did a really good job with the shiny patch autos and the shiny chrome sticker autos as well.
We talked about prism baseball,
and we didn't. We should have, but we ran out of time. Ingrained hockey is coming up at 5:30, and that one is the first hockey product where you can chase dual game used nameplate sticks. And there's a Gretzky McDavid that I don't even want to know how much we'll go for once it's pulled. I mean, it's the nameplate of a game used stick. It's like having two bat knobs and baseball basically.
Dude,
on
look
the
at
same
this
stick.
Basketball god right here, dude.
Oh my god,
that's actually a good one. I might have having three rain.
Look at that basketball god right there.
That is a god. God.
The hell is that sound?
Out of nowhere, got a ghost.
Yeah, really. So that ghost really wants some mirror, then.
I know. He's like, it's out. It's been out. Bro, you haven't seen him well.
Man, I can't. I can't get down with the big heads.
The baby face assassin.
That
take
is
out the
baby
Bucks
face.
4-0, dude.
I know. It's man. Crazy.
So I'm assuming what 20 cards in that set.
I think they have a lot of rookies. It might be 50.
50?
Yeah.
50.
Cause,
collect them all.
They have Anthony Davis, too, which I would have admitted him.
Yeah, y'all
going
to make me mess around and try to make that set this year.
I know they have Ben Simmons.
The first mustache. All right, guys. Well, that is it for the show. We've got legacies to break. Check out our schedule. Like I said, we've got Encase tonight. We've got legacies. We've got the NT Multisport, which has been fire. Check it out, mojobreak.com, where everything on our schedule is guaranteed to break. So some of you guys that are first listening to the podcast, maybe you've broken with other breakers, everything that's on our schedule is guaranteed to break, and we do anything from 100 different breaks a week on average. So there's something for everybody on the site, whether it be, you know, a cheap $12.99 multi-sport NT break to a big, you know, 80-box, 9-case break that we did at the rookie premiere. So check it out, mojobreak.com, and make sure you guys sign up for the free NT break. There's only 1 week left before we do that thing. So check that out. And for now, thanks for tuning in to episode 92. Peace.
And that's it. Thanks for watching this episode. Visit Mojo Break.